Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number is area code 760-337-8874. And also a reminder that you can access our podcast. This show will be available in a couple of weeks on the web. You can access it through kxoradio.com and click on live podcast. Well, today Scott is still on vacation, so I'm going solo, but I have two guests. I have Jessica Aviles. She's a program supervisor for Imperial County Behavioral Health, the CalWORKS program. And I have Claudia Hawkins, a social worker. Three from the Department of Social Services. Good morning, everyone.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's just get started. Claudia, CalWORKS. You work for CalWORKS program.
Yes.
Give us a little background of CalWORKS, because I'm also guilty. I always call it, you know, the welfare or the and other names, but it's CalWORKS.
It's CalWORKS. Once a person has been approved to receive cash aid, they meet the requirements, then they become mandatory participants to the program.
In what ways did it change, or why was it changed to CalWORKS?
What do you mean from?
From before it was called, you know, you're getting, you know, people would get cash aid, and there was no other requirements for it.
Oh, I see. You are talking about way before my time. the CalWORKS program, what CalWORKS is trying to do is eliminate barriers from people becoming self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is empower people through different trainings or helping them. Let me talk about some of the barriers that we try to eliminate. For instance, if somebody doesn't speak English, we send them to an assessment. Everybody has to go to an assessment. And once we receive the recommendations from the counselor, we either send them to English ESL classes, GED or high school diploma classes, work experience. If they don't have a vocational training, we do that as well. And the main reason we're here today, also we try to eliminate mental health barriers through the unit that Jessica supervises.
Now, all these, when you say, you know, we eliminate the barriers and different classes, is that paid through Department of Social Services, or is it on the recipient?
It is through the Department of Social Services. It is, the client doesn't have any expenses to them. It's everything through social services.
And what if you send them to a class and let's say that they don't attend the class?
If they don't attend...
Or like the ESL class or, you know, one or the other.
Well, CalWORKS, we do have to follow state and federal regulations. And let me say that for a single parent household, that person, mom or dad, they have to comply with 32 hours of activities every single week for as long as they remain on cash aid. A two-parent household has to meet 35 hours of activities per week. So these activities that we send them to are designed to meet those federal and state regulations. And if they do not comply with the activities, if it is determined that they did not have good cash or not attending, we start a process that is called pre-sanction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to explain the pre-sanction process?
Can you explain a little bit about the activities? And those activities are the classes that they have to attend?
Yes.
Or it's something else besides the classes?
It is classes. It is work experience. So they can gain the experience in it. And they also it helps them in the resume. That's something that they have to include in the resume that they were sent to different places. And let me think about it. English classes, GED, high school diploma, and also we use all the resources and the agencies available to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we also send them to the one step to go to the certification process and be approved for different trainings.
Mm-hmm. So if they don't go to those classes, they start, you start the sanction process.
Pre-sanction. Mm-hmm.
Pre-sanction.
Yeah, the pre-sanction process starts when, if they do not comply, once the social worker realizes that the hours are not being met, then we go ahead and send a non-compliance letter.
Mm-hmm.
We give them an appointment, and once they show, we sign a compliance plan for them to meet the requirement. It's usually 2 weeks, sometimes a month, and during that month, if they fail again to comply with those activities, then the case is finally routed to pre-sanction.
Mm-hmm.
Once in pre-sanction, another social worker will conduct a home visit, and then they talk to the client. They take that information to the program manager, and she decides what we do with the client.
Either they decrease or the cachet
decreases only for that person, for the adult.
But not for the child?
No, not yet.
Okay. Has it come to that point where you have to sanction the whole, you know?
No. California has we are not allowed to go that way yet, but we have been hearing, our governor has been trying to get that approved.
Even sanctioning the kids?
The entire family. Mm-hmm.
How many families do we have on cachet here in Imperial County, approximately?
You know what? I can get back to you with that information. I don't have that at hand.
But is it a lot here?
More than 200. Yeah. And every week you get families coming in and applying for cachet.
Every single week.
Yeah. Every single week.
We have orientations every week at the El Centro office. We have them every Thursday. At the Broadway office, we have them every Monday. And in Calexico, we have them every Tuesday. So we are getting new recipients every single week.
Yeah. One of the, you know, you talked about that they have to participate in 32 hours of activities every week on a weekly basis.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, one of the barriers, not just, you know, that could be is childcare. Childcare is major. And I'm just thinking of just me, you know,
yeah.
Like I work and I need childcare. You know, and if you're not working and you are in cachet and you need to participate in these activities and you need childcare and you have no money, how can you help those families?
We provide the services.
You provide the childcare? All right.
We don't provide the childcare. What we do is they find the childcare provider that they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a licensed childcare provider, or it can be a family member or whoever they choose. And we go ahead and start working with them, and we pay the licensed childcare provider.
So in other words, there's a lot. I mean, there's no excuse.
No excuse.
No excuse to participate in the activities.
We also provide transportation in the form of bus tickets, or if they have their own car, mileage reimbursement.
Wow, that's really good.
It is.
So when you get assessed, when they get assessed, the client gets assessed, and let's say that. They, you know, the person, you know, the social worker that's doing the assessment, and they ask questions, and they notice that, you know what, there's other issues, barriers. For example, maybe there might be some kind of depression, or just what is the process to get referred to behavior health, ThoughtWorks behavior health.
When they come to the orientation, let me talk about anytime. When they come to the orientation, there are four initial activities that we have to have our clients do. And one of the activities is a class called Life Skills, and that I would let Jessica tell us about that.
The Life Skills class is something that is a supportive service that behavioral health provides. And it's when it talks about life skills, it entails very many things. It's a week-long class, and there's 6 hours of instructions provided by a mental health employee. And every day there's a different topic. On Monday we do self-care and your health, and then on Tuesday we do learning how to problem solve. Wednesday they do grounding and mindfulness, and then on Thursdays they do grounding and mindfulness on Wednesday. Then Thursdays they do communication and listening. And Fridays, we do developing professionalism and goal setting. So well, every day there's a different topic, but mind you, every day that there's a new topic introduced, it also rolls over to the next day. So on Tuesday when they do problem solving, they introduce the CBA. We do a lot of CBT type of intervention.
Which is?
The cost benefit. On Tuesday they introduce cost benefit analysis. They also teach them regarding managing their emotions, teaching them the ABC model developed by Albert Ellis.
What is ABC?
The ABC is an acronym for disputing their irrational beliefs. The ABC stands, the A stands for an activating event or something that a problem that occurred in the participant's life or situation, and then the B would be the belief. What is the belief regarding that problem or the situation? And the C could be the consequence regarding that belief or that the activating event. And they could go, you know, starting from the consequence to the belief, and it never goes in order. But that's one of the different types of techniques they teach them, and also one of the other techniques that the MERCs teach them as part of the class, and because it's life skills, is also grounding. Grounding is about teaching and relaxation techniques, healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, the communication skills, because most of these are skills that we are familiar with, but most of the population that we serve, they're not familiar with these types of skills. And one of the things that, the reason why either they start with us first or they start with the empowerment class is because most of the clients, we want them to be self-sufficient and become employable. So these are skills that they don't have, so they have to be adaptable to the employment. Most of the clients have lost employment because they have the bad ways of managing their problems, or tardiness to work, or missing work and becoming responsible. So we're teaching these basic essentials for them to go back into the workforce and become employable.
Is it both in English and Spanish?
We do provide English and Spanish classes. We have we provide 3 weeks of English, and then we have a week of Spanish. And we have two different MERCs, service providers at CalWORKs through Behavior Health, that provide those courses.
What has been the response so far regarding these groups?
Well, actually, the response has been positive. What we do is we do an evaluation. The participants, it's an anonymous evaluation. They complete it on the first day of class, and they also complete it on the last day of class. On the last day of class is Friday, and we provide them with a certificate. Most of the responses have been in English and Spanish, the classes, and I've also had the opportunity to teach the classes in English and Spanish. And one of the things that they have all pretty much is very common on the comments is that it's very adaptable. I really learned a lot. This is something I didn't know I could use in my everyday life, because every day that there's a class instruction, they're provided with homework on the activity that they learned for the day. So they are expected to use these activities in real life experience at home with your children, if they're in their relationship and what have you. They would also implement those type of interventions that they learn there.
Have you come across, you know, participants that after group or during group that while the behavioral health staff is conducting these groups that, you know what, this person might need more services, and, you know, maybe this group needs this. Being in this group, it's not enough. You know, they need other services.
One of the things is that things that staff is expected to do is be kind of sensitive to that type of situation, because you have clients coming in, we're assessing to see if we do have mental health impairment, because on Monday, again, going back to the Monday's class, we're introducing about self-care, exercise, managing healthy mental health stability, and then we introduce them regarding what is depression, anxiety, give them psychoeducation regarding that, and then also regarding drugs and alcohol, you know, dependence and abuse, very basic stuff, educational regarding those type of impairments. And then what happens is we all break everything into groups and we have activities. Sometimes some of the participants will report more adverse impairments, and that's when the MERC comes in, and they have to basically analyze the situation, refer them for them to receive further services.
And the MERC is a mental health rehab tech.
Yes. And they do the process of referral, they forward it to DSS personnel, and then we get them scheduled for a screening. And that's something that we have another behavioral health staff do. They do a screening. It's a series of questions regarding mental health impairments, depression, anxiety. We ask regarding DV issues, drugs and alcohol.
Again, domestic violence?
Yes, domestic violence and drugs and alcohol impairments. And again, these are the type of questions that we ask, because if there are impairments that does not let them participate in a walk for the work activity, we have to provide them with that type of support.
And have you come across a lot of impairments? You know, like domestic violence, drug and alcohol, mental health issues.
We've come across many types. We have drugs and alcohol impairments. Sometimes clients are reporting.
And that's, I mean, you know, if you're using drugs that on a regular basis, you know, that's going to impair your life. You know, there's people that can drink alcohol every day, you know, beer after work, and it doesn't impair their job. But when it comes to a point that even alcohol impairs your job and you lose your job, mm-hmm. that's when, you know, that's an impairment. Have you come across a lot of people that lost their jobs because of?
We haven't come across, I can't give you a number regarding that, but we've had, well, that's one of the fundamentals about CalWORKS is that when the client meets with a social worker and they report that type of impairment.
Well, yeah, then I'm going to say that. A lot of people are afraid of saying that or admitting that
yes.
because, especially with alcohol and drugs, that they're going to come and I guess the question to you, Claudia, I mean, if somebody comes, you know, I have I'm a drug user, do I qualify for cash aid or do they qualify for cash aid or is there cash aid, you know, because they know, you know, most of the times, I'm not saying all, but, you know, they might use that money that they get, cash aid, to buy drugs instead of buying food for them or for their kids.
For the children, yes. It is possible the way we as a social workers, we're always paying attention to those cues that we might get from them. When we start seeing that the participation is just not there and we start asking questions and sometimes they do open up and they tell us and immediately we process a mental health referral and then they go through the screening process that Jessica was talking about. The life skills class is only for the people who are just coming brand new to
brand
the program,
new.
To the orientation. But in the clients that we've had for years or clients that used to receive services and they were fine at one point and they would discharge, then they come back sometimes. They
mm-hmm.
tell us because they know the services mm-hmm. are available. So we have pretty good participation because they know and they really do benefit from those
mm-hmm.
services. And we have seen very good stories in which people are able to come out of this depression or drug and alcohol
mm-hmm.
even. The help that they receive from these services is great. For a period of time, we didn't have these services available to our participants, and it was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you of two of my clients who lost their jobs because they were severely depressed and had anxiety attacks, and they just couldn't
mm-hmm.
deal with it, and they couldn't get the services anywhere else, and they lost the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When they came back, I was really, really happy. Really happy for my clients.
Well, I hope it continues again
yes.
still with the CalWORKS program. And, you know, I guess my question again, people should not be afraid to disclose
Absolutely.
If they have a mental health issue or an alcohol and drug issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their cash aid is not at risk of being lost.
No.
A lot of people might say, no, I'm not going to say that.
And
mm-hmm.
you still get that. One of the things when we do our screenings is, you know, am I okay telling you this?
Mm-hmm.
Is my social worker going to
exactly,
know?
Exactly, yeah.
Are you going to take my children away? And that's always
yes.
a stressor for them to even come and be able to come forthcoming and disclose this type of confidential information. And especially when we're dealing with parents and females who are reporting a substance dependence and where they're saying that, yeah, they're becoming neglectful and they're purchasing the substance with their money and sometimes leaving their children. But that's one of the things that we educate them. Social worker, DSS is really involved with us, and we educate the clients and let them know that we're here to provide supportive services through the state of California. That's why it's there for, to provide them with that.
And unfortunately, you know, we don't have perinatal program.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, we lost it.
We lost it because of funding. But we're hoping that maybe it might come back, but we don't know. I mean, the way the budget is here in the state, we don't know. But that was such a good program because it was mostly for women with kids.
And most
children.
Of our CalWORKS clients were receiving services through the perinatal program.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a accumulation of services through us at Team 7 and also through the perinatal drug and alcohol program. So it was a lot of support through the mental health rehab tech at Team 7 and also through the perinatal program and substance abuse council and DSS.
There were so many women that graduated
mm-hmm.
and so many women that, you know, and I know we're getting off the subject, but I remember, you know, when I started working, I would see the women come in with an attitude that, you know, they don't need to be there. They came with their children were dirty, they smelled, children were out of control. And 9 months later, 6 months later, and sometimes it, some of them took longer than that, a year, you know, children were clean, they were fed, they wouldn't get to the program starving, they would be, you know, they were
healthy.
The women dressed better, you know, took care of themselves, were clean, were looking, going back to IBC. It's, I mean, what a change. And that change for that person also may take the change on the children.
Right. Yeah.
So, and
I think that's one of the things that we're trying to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And show these women that the kids do not have to repeat the same story that they were participants of at one point in their lives. And going back to what Jessica said, it's very important for our clients to know that this, in any way, to the contrary, is actually, we see that if there is no participation in the 32, 35 hours per week, and they are telling us, okay, I have this problem, I have this mental health barrier, then if they start participating with Jessica's unit and they receive the services and they are making an effort, that's good. We see that they are trying
mm-hmm.
to get better and to overcome that barrier. So in any way, is this going to be detrimental to them or their children? We are not there to, we're just there to serve them and to really help them improve their lives.
Now, here's maybe not the question, you don't have the answer, but, you know, you can provide them with services to eliminate these barriers, you know, if they have a mental health, if they're English or the alcohol and drug, their anxiety, depression. But you know what? I mean, it's hard to get a job here in Imperial County. So what do you do? You know, you here you go. You know, you have parents, and I know we don't have the answer. You don't have the answer, and I'm just, you know what? We have all of these great services that Behavioral Health does, and that CalWORKs DSS, Department of Social Services has. You know, they provide transportation. They provide they pay for childcare.
Yes.
You know, you guys are trying to eliminate all these barriers,
yes.
And they're eliminated. But then here, okay. You're empowered now. You have all these skills that you've learned, and
there are no jobs. Well, you know what? The reality is there are very few jobs out there. However, we still see openings, and we still encourage our participants to go and apply, to go through the experience. And in the meantime, that's not all they have to do. It can be discouraging to them submitting applications, you know, many applications every week, and I receive not even one phone call from
an
interview.
Do they get the support? Do they continue to get support? You know, because that could just be, you know, very, like you said, very craft depression.
But one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that when the model came into play through the Imperial Valley, CalWORKs was the first one seeking out the jobs for these participants from the Imperial Valley. They contracted with DSS. They conducted the interviews there at the Department of Social Services on 4th Street for Macy's, for PacSun, for the food court, everything that was providing any type of employment. CalWORKs participants were the ones that received first dibs on those jobs. So, I mean, DSS does provide that type of support, and whenever there's jobs available, they have contracts with different types of employers, and then that's when ROP also comes into play, and they
mm-hmm.
provide them that type of support. So DSS does go way beyond any type of supportive service to get them employed, because there's different types of developed contracts with employers here in the Valley.
And in the meantime, like I said, they don't only have to be submitting applications and knocking on doors. At the same time, they are going through a training.
Mm-hmm.
They are working on getting their GED or high school diploma.
Do you pay for other, like, specialized vocational classes?
Yes.
Okay. We do
the
have
truck driver training, the welding training. The money, the state of California has a lot of supportive services, and that includes that type of employment and payment for them.
Well, with that, with those services, we'll continue. We'll leave at that. We're going to take a short break, and we'll continue with the other services that CalWORKs provides.
Okay.
And you're listening to Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health, and we'll be right back after a short break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXOradio.com.
And we are back. You are still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Give us a call here at the station. Its phone number is 760-337-8874. And we've been talking with Jessica Avila. She's the program supervisor for Imperial County Behavioral Health, CalWORKS program. And Claudia Hawkins, she's the social worker 3 for the Department of Social Services. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Before the break, we were talking about services at the Department of Social Services through the CalWORKS program it offers. And we were talking about, you know, just all the barriers that, all the services that you offer to eliminate those barriers. And I was just saying, well, if you eliminate all those barriers, you know, now that the recipient now knows English, they no longer have anxiety because they went through behavioral health. They got vocational training, and, you know, there's still, you know, there's, and they submit applications. And you were saying that there's a time limit.
For the parents?
Uh-huh.
Yes, they receive aid for 5 years.
For 5 years. So it's
60 months.
Yeah, so if they submit an application and there's no jobs, you know, they get discouraged. You know, what do you do to get them, you know, Jessica was telling me all these services at CalWORKS are usually the first ones, you know, when job openings open, you know, that at the mall or maybe any other business, the CalWORKS recipients are the first ones to get, you know, go through the hiring process. But, you know, what do they do? You have only 5 years, correct?
Yeah.
The parents. At the 4 years, what do you guys do if, let's say, they have not gotten a job?
We work very hard on making sure these people have work experience. And we try to place them in different sites if still a job doesn't become available. And then also, we have, at this very moment, we have the opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to be working with the IBROP. Mm-hmm. And
oh,
we have,
great.
Yes, we have this program called, or project is actually, Project Jobs. And this is paid work experience. We do a referral, and IBROP makes contact with the client, and they place them with an employer that has the potential to keep that person after the 6 month period is over with them. That's one of the things that
it's
we
like
have.
It's like an internship. It's a paid internship, or not an internship, but you know,
you are getting paid $8 an hour.
So in other words, the agency is not paying the employee, it's through IBRP.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we've had actually people who have been hired after the 6 months are over. So there is a potential to still find a job and becoming self-sufficient, which is what we want and they want. I'm pretty sure our participants want that, because most of the time we go to team meetings with mental health every week, and this is very common that they suffer from depression because they are very overwhelmed with the financial situation. Mm-hmm. Once they find a job, the depression goes away. Many times. So this is something that we all want.
And then the other problem is that, you know, once you get a job, you know, a job that pays good, I mean, because you still have to have, will you still continue paying for childcare?
Yes. Yes, we continue helping them with childcare. If, let's say that they find a job that they're making good enough money that they do not qualify for cash aid anymore, the childcare case gets transferred to the Office of Education, and they keep covering childcare for 2 years after that.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good. Because that childcare is a major, major.
Yes.
Can be a major barrier.
Yes, it is. It is very expensive, but we help them with
that. I know. I didn't know it was that expensive until I had my child. So, I mean, all that, I just am thinking about all that money I keep using for something else.
Yes, it is very expensive.
I already have one.
And one other thing that we help our clients with is if they find a job and they need uniforms or they need clothing. We help them with that, two tops, two bottoms, and a pair of shoes for them to start. So there are services available to them. Also, we help them with housing assistance if they need that, some kind of help. We don't provide the housing. We do the referrals and make sure we do follow up to make sure that they are receiving the help, the guidance to help them find housing. We help them with food supplies, I mean school supplies, food baskets. If they run out of money, sometimes something happens, the refrigerator, something happens to it, and they last all the food. So we help them with that. And utilities sometimes. We do also make
referrals. Especially during the summertime, I bet you guys are busy with that.
Yes, it is.
And get depleted fast.
Yes. It is,
I know this is the hard summer. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Tuesday, we were in the break, we were talking about how you keep your AC at the house, air conditioning.
And you'll get some participants that they can't afford to pay the bill, so some of them won't turn on the AC, they rely on fans. And some of them will disconnect their telephone during the summertime because of they either pay for the electricity or they pay for their phone. So you get that a lot.
Or you pay for food.
Right.
You know, it's been difficult, and it's been difficult. And right now today is the first day of the new fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to have a budget here in the state, and there's no budget. So, you know, we have a deficit of $19 billion. And, you know, I think the budget that they submitted was $85 billion. There's $19 billion, so we only have right now $64 billion. So, you know, they have to somewhere cut $19 billion out of the budget to come down to $64 raise taxes, I guess, do something. It's, you know, every year it's kind of like getting harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're hoping that the economy gets better, but it has gotten just a little better. But, you know, it just takes a while.
It takes a while. We have to just hang in there and not get discouraged. All we can do is just keep working really hard for our clients and help them to realize that self-sufficiency, it is attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we have these problems with the budget, we used to have more services available, but we still have services to help them out. So I think there's still hope.
So let's say the social worker, you know, here they come, they need services. Your funds have been depleted.
Yes.
So you make referrals to other agencies?
Yes, we're constantly doing that. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We refer them to... IVRP is one of the mm-hmm. programs that we work with. Also, the One Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And
EFS.
Yeah, Family Solutions.
Office of Ed. I mean, there's different types of agencies that clients are linked to every day. Housing Authority for helping them with the Section 8. Anything. Anything that's available, they are linked out there.
And as Behavior Health, we have a lot of programs that, under the Mental Health Services Act, that it's called a full service partnership programs, and we provide mental health services and anything else that might need. That means that if they need housing, clothing, food, utilities, transportation, we will pay for that too.
Yes.
So,
and the one,
I guess, this is the time when there's always a budget crisis, you know, everybody starts to work together. And
to make sure that we link the client appropriately and do not leave them without supportive services.
Yes. And one other thing that I really appreciate having mental health, the mental health unit working with CalWorks is many times we have clients, mom or dad, who they are fine mentally, but they are dealing with so many problems with their teenagers. And
that can cause the mental.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. But I think it's great that once they tell us, we do the referral for them to talk to Jessica's personnel. And once they start working with them, they identify, okay, it's daughter, 14-year-old, having these issues, and they refer them to different programs through the mental health department. And sometimes that's all they need. They just needed some help, some guidance with the kids.
What parent doesn't?
We have most of our clients are coming in that are reporting impairments. Like this recent client that I'm working with, I forgot to mention that we also provide psychotherapy and heart services through our program. And one of the clients that
case
I have...
Case management services?
Case management, we had adaptive services. I have a client who came in for services because the impairment that she has is she's become really depressed and having anger outbursts, and anxiety has increased, exacerbated because she has her son who's 19 years old that got diagnosed with schizophrenia at the age of 19. So having to adjust with the and work and deal with the son who has a mental health disorder who's very severely impaired and has a teenage daughter who's 14 years old and has a 9-year-old daughter who is also living at the home. So she's also kind of not...
Being overwhelmed.
Very mm-hmm. overwhelmed. And she can't participate in Waffle Work activity because she's trying to get him situated with mental health services. Medication that he's taking right now has to continue to be adjusted because he hasn't been stable on any type of medication, any antipsychotic medication. So
and then, you know, as a 19-year-old, they can't... he's an adult. He can refuse services.
Right. So she has to deal also, there's times where he's becomes really hypervigilant and thinks that she's trying to poison him because she gives him his medication. She's required to give him his medication morning and afternoon, and she feeds him. And, I mean, there's periods of time in the week that he gets very hypervigilant. He thinks that she's trying to poison him, and he won't take his medication. And then that's when becomes escalated. His symptoms become exacerbated. He ends up at the crisis assessment center, and she's dealing with that stressor. So
you have to, and then she has to still deal with her two other daughters.
She has to deal with her two other daughters.
When in situations like that, we still require the 32 or 35 hours. But when we go to team meetings and we discuss cases like this, in that particular case, Jessica requested good cause for a month, and then we are not pushing the requirements, the hours. But in the meantime, they are working on getting a medical exemption from a doctor because it is clearly she's not able to participate at this point. And we understand that, but we just need to go through the process and get the appropriate documentation.
In those cases, let's say that, can you extend the 5 years, or is it really like, that's it? It's 5 years, you're done.
When you're on a medical exemption, the clock, we call it the clock, stops ticking, meaning
okay.
It stops. So once you get exemption expires or you return back to the or becomes a part-time exemption, then that's when the clock starts ticking again. So every month starts counting again. But let's say, for the example, the client has been exempt for 6 months. Those 6 months, she has been exempt, so those 6 months of TANF are not going to count.
And in the case that you have something like, you know, like this, serious medical issue mm-hmm. with either the one of their family members, you know, that they are the caregiver and they're the ones that can take care of the children, you know, then that stops there.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Once we have the medical exemption, that gives them time to
focus on the treatment. And then finally, one question that, you know, it's been going around and it's been since Arizona passed that immigration law. What about illegal immigrants? Here. You know, people who are here illegally and their children are here legally. How do you take care of that, or how do you deal with those cases?
We have those cases. We have clients that are a non-exempt parent because the husband or the boyfriend is an illegal and he lives in the home.
Uh-huh.
But because it's a two-parent household, no child care is provided because he's an adult and he can provide child care. Mm-hmm. As a female or the mother is going to be required to participate in a welfare work activity. But they're not allowed on the grant. They're not included on the grant.
Yes, they don't receive cachet.
Okay, how about the child? For the child?
Yes. If the child is a citizen, you're a citizen, yes.
Do you ask? I mean, because there's probably a lot of, and this probably, the show should be all done in Spanish, but there's a lot of people that are, they don't even want to get cached because they're afraid that, you know, the Department of Social Services is going to turn them into immigration.
We don't discriminate.
No. We don't call immigration services on them.
Never.
Okay. No. This is just to help the families.
Yeah.
Immigration services have to do their own job.
Yeah.
But because, yeah, that, you know, there's a lot of people that are just afraid. You know, they don't want to come, even though, especially they need it. let's say that, you know, the mother's here illegally and the father got deported. There were probably two people working, you know, they were probably working in the fields. And it's happened a lot. Probably the father gets caught.
I have my caseload right now.
Yeah, and it gets deported. Mother, you know, has to go clean houses, you know, or do something, but she has little ones.
Yeah.
You know, she either has to stay home, get cash, you know, and she's afraid to go to Department of Social Services, get cash aid for their kids. And we have that.
We don't discriminate. We've had that type of population before. We've worked with them, and we just help them out as best as we can. And we link them to Catholic charities for them to apply for, you know, citizenship and stuff like that. Or IVC, they also provide those type of classes. But collaboration between DSS and Behavior Health is just, we're working together to help them become immigrated. We do any whistleblowing or anything like that.
No. That's a no-no.
Yeah, because we're a human service provider, and we have to provide supportive services, and we do not discriminate.
Well, you know what? I am so glad you guys came here because, you know, you explained the services that CalWORKS and is offering. And just, you know, between the collaboration between Behavioral Health and CalWORKS, Department of Social Services, you know, just people out there are getting better. And we're trying, and you're trying to get them a job. You know, you're doing everything possible. You're just, you know, the training, the schools, eliminating the barriers, linking them, referring them.
Yes,
there's everything. Childcare. It just
sometimes we even provide transportation to and from home if valid transportation is not available, and it goes case by case basis. But we really try hard to help them, and it's a lot. We do our part, but our participants have to do theirs too.
And I know that, you know, talking to other your coworkers at Department of Social Services, you know, their caseloads are huge.
Yeah, they are.
Are huge. And, you know, it just, we as in the behavioral health, we have caseloads, and sometimes we're busy, just, we have not even compared to the caseloads over there, and busy all day because of a crisis that happens. I can just imagine right now with the way the economy is, just constant phone calls and families and crisis.
It is constant. And
you're not looking at cases of 50, you're looking at cases of 300 or something like, or some 200 or...
With us, with CalWORKS, we have, some people have 200 cases, others 150, 115, but it's still, it's a very high case
eligibility
load.
Workers have...
Eligibility workers, I think they do have a higher case load. Yes, they do.
So my hat's off.
Thank you.
Numbers, where can they reach you? Where do they need more information? Where can they call? Or how does, you know, how can they sign up and then go also to the groups that Behavioral Health offers?
And any of our participants who are already working with the social worker, they can talk to the social worker about any issue that they may be facing. The social worker process a mental health referral, and then the person gets contacted to go through a screening. And I carry all the cases that have mental health services at this time, and my phone number is 760-336-4052. They can call me too, and I'll be happy to process a referral. And but the best thing is always talk to your social worker. That's Don't be afraid. We're all there to help, and that's our job. And we really enjoy helping the clients, and we're thrilled that we have mental health services back with CalWORKS.
And
really
I hope
happy.
It stays.
Too.
I hope it stays. I hope it, you know, the budget, you know, who knows when, who knows when we'll have a budget, some say November, December. But hopefully we'll have a budget, and the CalWORKS stays and provides services, CalWORKS Behavioral Health continue to provide services. Well, Jessica, Claudia, thank you very much for coming to our show.
Thank you
for having us.
And for the listeners, if you missed some part of it, you caught the last end of it, want more services, always remember, get to the podcast on kxoradio.com and click on Live Podcast. And with that, I'm hoping everybody has a good 4th of July, safe and fun 4th of July weekend. Have lots of fun. You know, be with your family, and take care.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.